Today's episode is brought to you by Fortis Pharma. Jonathan, the platform creator, is here to tell us about it. So before we jump into history and background, Jonathan, can you tell us what Fortis Pharma is?
Sure. Fortis Pharma is a platform that helps you find, engage, and retain clients. Right now, we're focusing on engagement, helping you deliver exercise programs to your clients, where you can see the exercises clearly and offer feedback about what they're doing, and they can give you feedback about how they find the workouts. And then we have a system set up that makes it really easy for you to update their workout as required. And right now we're really looking for kinesiologists to use the system, test the system as we start working on the finding clients and retaining your clients components of the platform. So visit fortisforma.com to get started today. That's fortisforma.com.
Awesome. So now that we understand what Fortis Pharma is, I want us to jump back, way back to the beginning. I want us you to tell us about kind of your background story about how you got to where you are now.
Sure. So like a lot of people in this industry, it started me being in high school and being really interested in sports and being very athletic. And I wanted to do something in that down that line going into school. So at first I thought it was maybe being a phys ed teacher in a high school or maybe a physiotherapist. But once I got into university at the University of Ottawa, I kind of felt like there were some other things that were a little bit more interesting in terms of exercise testing and helping people exercise. So I decided to focus on the exercise physiology components and sort of get into kinesiology, or I mean, at University of Ottawa, it's called human kinetics, but really kinesiology from there. And that's really what brought me to it. I just really enjoyed exercise. And I really enjoy seeing people exercise and improving people's performance in general.
Awesome. And then next, you went to human kinetics for 4 years. And then what sort of happened after that?
Yeah. So after the human kinetics program, I started an intern position at the Athletic Conditioning Center here in Ottawa. And we worked primarily with elite athletes and professional athletes. And I found it pretty engaging and pretty exciting. So when they offered me a position to stay there kind of full time after I graduated, then I jumped on that bandwagon because I really enjoyed working with athletes.
Awesome. And then looking sort of after working there, I see you started to open up your own kind of personal training called Fitness for Freedom. So I guess you can kind of chat about that because that's something you've been working on for a while.
Yeah. So Fitness for Freedom is something we started about 12 years ago. How we got started into Fitness for Freedom is sort of like, I really enjoyed working with athletes and the experience was incredible. I don't know if I could have gotten a better experience anywhere else, at least in the city of Ottawa, for working with people and learning about movement patterns and how to progress people and write proper periodization for clients. But the problem was that it did not pay. It didn't pay very well. So I think I was making, it's like $8 or $9 an hour, and minimum wage was $8 an hour, which is kind of a common theme in our industry, and we'll get to that. We can probably talk about that a little bit later, or my feelings that. But so one night I enjoyed the job so much that one night I sat down and was like, well, I guess this is what I could probably do for the rest of my career. And I pulled up a spreadsheet on my computer and I said, well, once you have a career, like what's the next step in your life, or what's supposed to be the next step? And my first thought was, well, buying a house probably is the next step. So I put my spreadsheet out. I put how much money I was making, and I tried to figure out how much I could save per year. And it worked out that I was going to take me 25 years to save up enough money for the down payment on a house, not even to buy a house. So it just made my decision really, really easy. After it's like, I have to do something else because I didn't go to university for 4 years to make basically what was a minimum wage at the time. And then, that's the the abridged version for why I got into it, into doing Fitness for Freedom, which I can talk about how that was, how starting Fitness for Freedom was, if you want me to go there.
Yeah. So yeah. I would love to hear about kind of how, like, you kind of talked about what brought you to kind of starting it. And I want you to talk a little bit about your journey, because, yeah, it's 13 years there, obviously a lot of ups and downs. I'm sure there's other kind of listeners that are in the same sort of boat or are going to be in the same sort of boat as you, that they want to kind of start to do their own thing, have a little bit more freedom, have a little bit better income. So I want you to talk about a little bit about building kind of Fitness for Freedom, and what you exactly do there in your role as a kinesiologist as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, it really started, there were a few things that we had to look at. One was, who are we going to, once we decided to start Fitness for Freedom, who are we going to kind of, target as our demographic, or who were the clients that we wanted to work with the most? And although I really enjoyed working with athletes, athletes really make up a small portion of the potential people that you could train. And in my eyes, really, you have, for the most part, all the best people chasing athletes, because almost everyone wants to work with high performers. And well, that's just my perception anyway. So we decided to focus on working with people who were a little bit older, more general population, because we decided there was a real need there that was being underserved. Because when you go to a lot of people's websites, a lot of other, like, personal training websites, it's all about weight loss. It's all about looking better. It's all about these sort of, like, metabolic conditioning style workouts where it's fast, it's hard, it's jumping. It's this sort of that sort of perception around it. So we wanted to come in a little bit more functional. We wanted to take a movement-based approach, and we wanted to really focus on, obviously, losing weight and feeling better about yourself are really important, but you can do that taking a movement-based approach and really help people without putting them at, or really significantly decreasing their chances of becoming injured, and helping them really maintain the function that a lot of older adults are looking for as they get older, because it's about picking up your grandkids. It's about being able to put dishes away high up on the shelf. It's about being able to play golf or go curling, you know, things like that, that maybe more the middle-aged people or older people are really looking to be able to do. So that's why we decided to focus there. In terms of starting the company, it was, once we decided sort of who we were going to work with, we thought we couldn't figure out what the best way. We decided the best way to start working with people was going directly to their homes, because it solved several problems. One is, most people, they pay for a gym membership, but then they never show up. And also, they spend a lot of time commuting back and forth for when they do. So if we were able to go to people's homes, then we would reduce the amount of time that they would have to spend traveling, because we eat that time for them. And then they actually, it's a lot harder to cancel when we actually show up at your house. So that's sort of,
for sure.
Yeah. So that's why we decided to go that way. And plus, people are more comfortable in their home. A lot of people, you know, especially if we're dealing with people who are trying to improve their function, or maybe they're a little bit overweight, then gyms make them really nervous. So it allows them to be comfortable, or allows them to take some early steps without being too nervous or as nervous about it. So that's sort of why we decided to go to people's homes. And from there, so do you have a question or anything, or?
No.
Okay. So where we went from there, as we started going into people's homes, and at the time I had a business partner, and we got busier a lot more quickly than I thought we would. At the time, I was still working in a bar job, because I was working nights late at night, and then waking up early in the morning to go see clients, because I still wanted to be able to make sure that I could, you know, pay for a living. Because when you start a company, there's always a period of time when you start a company where you may not have any revenue, so you need to have other sources of revenue to be able to live.
That's most people's stories.
Yeah. So I was working in a bar still late at night. So working till like 3 o'clock in the morning, and then getting up at six to train people, and I would have naps through the day as required, because usually 12 to 2 would be less, 12 to 2 in the afternoon would be less busy for the most part. Anyways, we got busy a lot more quickly than I thought we would, or than either of us thought we would. So we started hiring people, and we started to grow the company from there. So as people were coming in, we were Kim, my business partner, and I, we were full up. So we started hiring people on to start taking the client load after that. And from there, we just kind of we grew for the next maybe 3 years or so, using that method.
Nice. And at this point, like you said, you guys started to take people on. Were you guys also like hiring at this point, or was it just you and Kim at this time?
No, so after a year and about a year and a half, we started hiring people on to work
Nice.
With us. So, yeah, it's interesting because you learn a lot when you start having people to work with you. And it was definitely a learning experience for us, is that sometimes people, you realize that when it's your own name, maybe you're a little bit more dedicated to performing well. And then coaching people or having people try to finding people that care as much as you do, it can be really challenging sometimes. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that we struggled with, is finding good people who are willing to kind of work the hours that we were willing to work, and to travel kind of around the city the way that we were, even though I thought they were getting compensated relatively well, considering they didn't have to take any risk really on it. So yeah,
No,
that's
that for sure kind of makes sense in terms of a lot of people when they talk about like they're building their thing, right? So for you, this is like your baby, this is your project, and obviously you're going to be super passionate about it, and it's really hard to find people who are just as passionate and willing to kind of, like you said, work those long hours, work those odd shifts, take on those difficult clients, because it's not their sort of thing. So I can totally understand that sort of aspect of it as you were trying to grow it. So years went on, kind of working there. I want you just, if you can, talk about kind of a little bit about like your sessions with your clients. So you said they're more function based. Just for all the kind of kinesiologists that are listening, like what would make you different than, like you said, the generic personal trainer, where it's more weight loss and more how you look. What would you kind of do in your sessions to make yourself different as a kit?
Well, I mean, we start by going through a functional, well, we start with the consultation to figure out what it is someone wants. So we always have to start with where the other person's at, and then build the program or build the experience for the client around that. So what we would do is start with a consultation. We would figure out what their goals are, what they are really looking to get out of training, and then we try to decide or figure out how consistent this, or try to make a best guess for how consistent this person can be, and how much their time they're willing to put into it with us and on their own. And then we would take them through a functional movement assessment. So, I mean, my understanding is that most places would take you through an assessment would be something like, how many squats can you do? How many pushups can you do? How long can you hold a plank? Which is fine, but we started with we start with a postural examination. So we do examination, maybe that's too strong of a word, but an observation of walking around someone. So we try to see, do they shrug? Are they hip hike? Do their feet rotate out? Are they, what's their basic posture from the beginning? And we take them through a series of movements. So squats, split squats, single leg balance. Do they hip drop on their single leg balance? Are they able to do a proper hinge? Then we do some manual muscle testing. So, do they have some weaknesses in their hip abductors or adductors? How do their shoulders move? Do they have good range of motion through their shoulders? Are certain components of through like sagittal plane motion or frontal plane motion, or do they have any weaknesses in any of those areas? If they're experiencing pain, what types of movement cause that pain, and what types of movement don't cause that pain or make it feel better? And then we kind of build the program based on all of those results. And then we do some baseline strength tests at the end, because it's a very clear way to show improvement for people. So if someone can only do 4 pushups from their knees, then 10 weeks into sessions, they can do maybe 4 pushups from their feet. Like that's something tangible that they can really, that we really try to use as sort of a motivational tool for them to show how much they're improving. So, yeah, so that's how we start with the assessment. And then you want to know kind of how we run the sessions is basically.
Yeah, just what, yeah. So no, that was a good explanation in terms of the assessment, because I think that's a big and different piece that kinesiologists can kind of do in terms of having their background, being a little bit more like objective in terms of their kind of assessment and first kind of consultation to kind of see where they're at functionally, right? Not just like you said, squats and planks, but more overall kind of how they're moving and what's causing them pain or dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And so that's interesting for sort of the listeners to know that, yeah, that's kind of how you guys do it there at Fitness for Freedom. And then that you guys have found success with that, which is great. So looking down the line now, Fitness for Freedom's been, you've been president there for now 13 years. And then how we kind of connected and reached out was you, and how we talked about it before was Fortis Forma. What kind of led you to kind of start that, and kind of how has that been?
So one of the biggest problems that we have is trying to show clients what to do when we're not there. And there are a lot of out of the box solutions or a lot of other exercise delivery platforms that we've tried, but I always find that they're either really, really, really expensive, or it's really hard to find the exercises that I want to give to people, or their user interface isn't very, you know, there's always one or two things that I would really like to improve with it when we're trying to get clients to, or trying to help clients do exercises on their own. So that's really why we started Fortis Forma in its current state, because it was the way that I felt we could be the most helpful for people, is just helping them work with the clients that they already have.
No, awesome. Yeah. So working on that there, working on Fitness for Freedom, sorry. Or any other things that you are kind of currently working on before we kind of move on to kind of your overall experience so far?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're working on some other components to Fortis Forma. So basically how we're building it is we try to target a problem that we see, whether it's in the industry or with the existing platform itself. And then we have some people use it, and then we try to build or iterate on that. So as we build the other components of the platform, so helping people find clients and helping people retain clients, that's what we do, is that we find a problem, or we try to find something that we think people are struggling with. And how we figure that out is we just ask them, what are some things that you feel like you need to work on, or things that you feel like you're struggling when you're working with your clients. And then we try to build it, and then we get feedback from people who use it, and then we just make it a little bit better every time. So that's sort of what our approach is for building the platform, building the platform out from there.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of listeners will kind of tune in and visit Fortis Forma to kind of learn more. It is super, definitely something that a lot of people can find a lot of value from. So what I want to kind of look at next is, you've been kind of, I guess, in the industry working for 13 plus years. I want to hear what's your take as your sort of like overall experience as a kinesiologist so far.
You mean start to, you mean from, because when I started, we weren't even a regulated profession. Yeah. So you want me to start back there?
Yeah. Like even, yeah, sure. In general, like if you were to kind of summarize, cause like I have interviewed people that have had like 25 mm-hmm. plus years, and it's kind of like, yeah, they weren't even a thing at the beginning. It was tough, and it kind of, got better as things have. So how has it kind of changed, I guess, more from the beginning to now? Because being a registered kinesiologist is a lot, definitely a lot different than when you kind of first started, because like you said, it wasn't the thing.
Yeah, so I mean, originally when I graduated, I started with the certified exercise physiologist, and actually, I think it was called the professional fitness lifestyle consultant, technically. And then CSEP started changing how they did their designations. So I was a certified exercise physiologist for a while, and then we started getting wind of the changes were coming a little bit, and that kinesiology would be regulated. And when I found that out, then I registered with the OKA, so the Ontario Kinesiology Association. And from there, we got grandfathered in to being a registered kinesiologist. Of course, that when I first joined, I think they said it would be a 1 or 2 year process, and it ended up being more like 5 or 7 or
Jeez.
something like that. So it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work to for the kinesiologists of that era. It was a lot of work for them to get us regulated and recognized as health professionals, which I'm very appreciative for sure, because it's helped to open up a lot of doors for us, as well as give some professional stability to, sorry, that's probably loud in the background.
No, that's good.
Professional stability to the industry, because right now it's a little bit like the Wild West, where you have personal trainers selling fitness, then you also have strength and conditioning coaches, and you have kinesiologists, but kinesiologists can also do ergonomic assessments, or sometimes they do rehab, or sometimes they do exercise testing. So it's a little bit fragmented in that way. And just having the designation of registered kinesiologist is a good first step, because now then we can start, or I see the profession building designations for each of these specialties, so that it's not just arcane is a one size fits all. It'll be more like being in medicine or something, where you have a specialty in a certain area, and then you can become really known in that area. And because it's regulated, then it gives the profession a little bit more stature. Might be too strong of a word, but definitely a stronger reputation for being thorough in your ability to deliver services, which I think is only benefits everyone.
No, awesome. Yeah, so that kind of was a good kind of intro actually to the kind of the next question and kind of part that I wanted to kind of chat about is kind of where you see the future of kinesiology going, the profession. So there, your kind of outlook and take is that there'll be sort of a shift in terms of, yes, having the ARCN designation, having that regulated health profession, but then having specialties, because I agree with you in terms of, and I'm sure everyone does, that kinesiology is so broad in terms of the spectrum of services that it can offer. And for some people, that's awesome because you can get your ARCN designation out of school and you're kind of like, oh, I could work in rehab, I can work in a gym, I can work in ergo, I can work in health and safety, I can work in so many different places with this designation that now asks for it. But at the same time, it also doesn't identify specifically what a kinesiologist does, especially when you're trying to explain to someone what you do. When you have all these other kind of jobs or roles, it's very easy to identify their kind of main purpose or their main goal or their main service. But with an ARCN, it's kind of like, oh, you're a kinesiologist. Some of them are PTAs. Well, some of them like run a clinic. You know what I mean? So it's kind of very broad, and it's really hard for the public, I feel, to know exactly what a kinesiologist does. So I want you kind of expand on kind of your idea there, that you kind of is that kind of the main where you kind of see the profession of kinesiology going, where there'll be a little bit more specialties, or what other things do you kind of see kind of coming in the future?
Well, like you said, I mean, it's pretty fragmented right now. So we have a lot of kinesiologists not just doing kin work, but doing different types of kin work, and then also working in other jobs too, because we're in kind of a unique position where sometimes, especially when you're first starting out, it can be really hard to find full-time work somewhere. And I think that what most people should probably use that for is sort of a testing ground for figuring out what they're the most interested in. And even though it is, you can still do all kinds of things right now as a kinesiologist, I still think it's important to really try to find your own niche or find your own specialty, and then really becoming the best that you can be in that position. Because when you're the best that you can be in one particular position, then it opens up doors for other positions that are related to that as you grow your career as a kin. I'm sorry, that didn't answer your question exactly, but your question was, where do I see it going from here?
Yeah.
So, from a regulatory standpoint, like I talked about, I think it's going to be, we're going to go from fragmentation to more specification or being specialized in certain areas. And whether that comes from the top down, so through regulatory bodies, I'm not completely sure. But I do, I guess, maybe going back, what I was trying to say is that I foresee actually the industry being a little bit more fragmented than I would like to see it for the, mm-hmm. for the next probably five to 7 years, just because I know how long it took for the OKA to get us recognized as a regulated body. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, because opportunities can be good paying opportunities can be kind of sparse, in the industry sometimes, I think we could potentially lose a lot of kinesiologists to other industries that would be really well suited and really help expand the reputation of the profession as a whole. So it's really important that we have more good kinesiologists. So if, I mean, there's probably a lot of people listening right now that they're on the fence, you know, if they just graduate from school, they're a little bit not sure what they want to do. Maybe they've been offered a minimum wage job somewhere or like as a physiotherapy assistant. But I mean, those types of jobs can only take you so far. So you have to become specialized in another, mm-hmm. in another way,
for sure,
to help out. And I mean, if you're one of those people, what I would recommend is just, doing your best and trying to stand out from other people. I mean, it's just like being a good professional. If you're working with clients, you know, it's like the little things like showing up on time, doing a little bit of extra continuing education on the weekends and paying attention when people talk to you and listening to what your clients are saying and listening to what, you know, supervisors are saying, because often people miss, people can miss a lot of things that could help them improve a lot that are just like really little tiny things that make a really big difference at the end mm-hmm. of the day.
No, for sure. I think from my experience, like with me coming out of school, like I wasn't definitely a person that went at first out of my way to find volunteer experiences. I kind of just wanted to enjoy school. And then I figured I'd go figure out what I'd do for the rest of my life after. And that's kind of how I took it. And when I finished school, it was the same sort of idea, right? I was figuring out if I was going to register for the college, if I was going to just work kind of in a rehab clinic, kind of helping out as a rehab assistant or like just an exercise therapist. And that's what I kind of ended up doing because I really didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And it really helped me understand, like you said, like try that out and test that area to see if I like it. And I was in that role and I grew in like a full-time caseload as a registered kin after the 1 to 2 years that I was there. And then it was kind of okay, like what's sort of the next step? So I definitely think you're right that you really need to use it like as a testing ground as one but then go out and niche and specialize in something and really just kind of keep looking and keep trying to learn and seeing what you really like, because I find a lot of people only know about kinesiologists in one setting, and that's something that they had maybe had experience in or seen, and most of it just in a rehab clinic. But there's so many different opportunities for registered kinesiologists to kind of start their own thing, like you have with Fitness for Freedom, and build that up, or kind of find other roles. And I've been keeping an eye on the different kind of jobs and opportunities, and I don't know, in kind of in this part of Ontario, I guess I've seen a lot more roles kind of open up where maybe it wasn't necessarily a registered kinesiologist job, but now they're requiring it right off the bat. So that in itself, I see is a positive kind of move in terms of people understanding the benefits of a kinesiologist and requiring that in a role that maybe previously really didn't need it. So people and employers are identifying that, and with it now starting to come under extended health insurance for some companies, I mean, we start to kind of see that people will be kind of interested or curious about what kins do. And yeah, that's something that I definitely think we as a profession, even what you kind of finished off with there, was we're going to be losing a lot of kins if there isn't kind of the job market for it. So hopefully I continue to kind of see different job opportunities come as kinesiologists to kind of hopefully kind of retain, like you said, those good kinesiologists to help build the profession. Because right around now, right, it's that kind of college renewal time. And I'm in a bunch of Facebook groups where people are like, I don't know, like I didn't really use my designation at all this year. So why do I want to pay X amount for another year to be a physio assistant? And so this is definitely something that the college and the Ontario Kinesiology Association is definitely challenged with is how do you retain like talent or retain the people that kind of built the profession? Because it's really with numbers and public awareness that we're going to really take it to the next step. I don't know what else you have to kind of say about that.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, well, one, the college fees are really expensive, especially when the vast majority of kin graduates end up being a physiotherapy assistant. I don't know I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I feel like it's probably close to about 50%, which is and if most physio clinics only pay roughly minimum wage or slightly more than minimum wage, especially when kins are first starting out. So I actually think instead of waiting for a top-down approach where the college kind of gives these designations, I think it's going to be kind of up to us as individual practitioners to specialize in particular areas and be really good at demonstrating that to potential employers. To potential clients that we're working at. So it's like if you take health and safety, occupational health and safety, then it's important to be the best that you can be at that position so that when you go in for an interview with someone, you can answer all the questions they have. You can draw off of it previous experiences that you've had for how you would deal with situations. Being able to demonstrate that is really important. And I really think that it's going to come from the bottom up more than it is from the top down. I don't know. I'm a bottom up kind of a person. So, I think, I don't, I personally think it's up to a person's, it's up to people to take responsibility for
For sure.
themselves and how they want to, how they want to pursue a career or pursue a life. And I think you can't wait for people to, we can't sit back and wait for people to tell us what we're allowed to do or what we can do. We just need to start doing it and getting better and better at it until we're the best, until we're the best that we can be at it. So that's kind of where I stand on that.
Awesome. No, and that's definitely good words and kind of motivational words for anyone who's listening that. And all the guests that I've kind of chatted with, it's been kind of the same thing that it's kind of like not waiting for the top-down approach, kind of making it your own, because this is even something that I've said at the very beginning was like we need to kind of decide what we want to do as kinesiologists to kind of carve our own path to make us different. Because right now, with it being kind of a new regulated health body, it's really open for interpretation and where it can go. And there's nothing stopping different people, different kind of leaders, influencers in kind of our space to kind of take that lead and kind of show that we can and we will kind of make it our own. And I know I've been on calls with different people, let's say from the OKO or different things, and they're just pretty much chatting about like kin is a new profession. It's only been a few years, and it took 50 years for the physio kind of college to finally kind of really be where it is now. So that's where they're saying we're looking at another 50 years. So unless you're willing to wait 50 years, and I'm sure you're not, I'm not, I know hopefully the listeners aren't either, we really need to kind of take it upon ourselves to kind of take that next step. And even if it is a top-down approach and a bottom-down, hopefully we can somewhere meet in the middle and kind of bridge the gap there. So, as we start to kind of wrap up the show here, I want you kind of leave any advice for any of the students that may be listening who, like we kind of chatted before, are kind of perspective, not sure in terms of if they want to register for the exam. What kind of words of advice would you like to give for them? And then, depending on time, we'll go through some other kind of questions and things that people can kind of take home with them as well.
Sure. So I think in terms of being a good kinesiologist or figuring out in terms of being a good kinesiologist, I think the best practice is to, regardless of what specialty you're in or what your position is to be the best that you can be at that position, and which I've kind of talked about a little bit, but not only to be the best, but go above and beyond to learn everything you can about that position and all the areas that would allow you to excel or differentiate yourself from other people that are doing very, very similar things. And these are all just very little things that go with being a good professional. But on top of that, I would say look for, try to find problems within that. Try to look for problems within that position that you could solve, because there's opportunity. Wherever there's a problem, there's an opportunity. And I think that we need more innovative thinkers in general, but especially in kin, in different ways to, like if you're working, say you're doing a lot of exercise testing with someone, and you know the metabolic cart that you're using is has some problems with it, then you could look at how could you improve the metabolic cart, or how could you improve the system that you're doing the testing on that piece of equipment, and then trying to solve problems within that, and then you can, by solving the problem, then you can probably create some kind of a business or side project that can help you sort of accelerate yourself or differentiate yourself in another way as well, and then start possibly, hopefully start your own company or start being your own person, because I actually think that's where there's a big need for different ideas and thoughts to come from this space. And the best people to bring forward those ideas are the people who are working directly with clients or with other people doing the actual work. So if you can become a problem spotter and then a problem solver after that, I think you'll have a lot of doors open on your way up.
And that's what's something that I really hope I can kind of find on this show. And that's how I kind of reached out and we found each other, was trying to find people that are kind of trying to innovating kind of kinesiology, trying to take those next steps. And I mean, a lot of the stuff that you talked about today was really inspirational and motivational for a lot of the students or kind of kins that are on the fence in terms of what could happen. So hopefully, kind of after listening to this, it's not all down. It's not all down from here. Just from here, we're just kind of going from here to take that next step, and hopefully, we can become problem spotters, and then, like you said, become problem solvers as well. So I just wanted to kind of thank you for taking your time out today to do this podcast. I know you're super, super busy, and it was really challenging to find a time, but I'm super, super grateful and super appreciative that we found the time to do that today. So thank you so
No
much
problem. Thank
for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Welcome to the Making Connections podcast with your host, Spencer Raposo. This podcast was made to interview current registered kinesiologists in Ontario and talk to them about what they do and where they see the future of the profession going. The goal of the podcast is to get a conversation going about kinesiology as a regulated health profession in Ontario. Each episode, we will bring on a new guest with loads of experience as an RKIN that will share their story and any advice for any new RKINs and kinesiology students about current opportunities in the field. I want to thank everyone for listening today. I really appreciate you taking the time out to listen to the entire full podcast. If you liked what you listened to today and want to hear more, please subscribe to the Making Connections podcast on whichever platform you're listening on now. And remember to like us on Facebook and LinkedIn pages. Today's episode has been brought to you by Fortis Pharma, the platform that helps you find, engage, and retain clients. Right now, their focus is on engaging clients, but moving forward, they're looking for kinesiologists to help test the finding and retaining clients component. Visit Fortis Pharma, that is fortispharma.com, and register today for free. In this episode, I interview Jonathan Chant, RKIN, president of Fitness for Freedom, and founder of Fortis Pharma. Shortly after graduating from the University of Ottawa, he began his company, Fitness for Freedom, which is a mobile kinesiology company. Jonathan operates under the following principles: to care, be honest, and treat people the same way he would like to be treated. His goal is to raise the bar for the entire fitness industry by focusing on and developing the required habits to live a healthy lifestyle, not just exercise. In this episode, Jonathan tells us what calculation he made that pushed him to start his company, how his RKIN designation has helped him along the way, and how to find ways to stand out in a crowded space.